Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the fifth Sunday of Lent. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 12 to 14. And here it is. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them, and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live. And I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised it, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Ezekiel, really we're given a great message, my friends, because the Lord tells us twice, you shall know that I am the Lord. Because the people don't take this seriously. They are not listening. They are not believing in the Lord himself. And so the Lord lays it out in a beautiful way that he will put his spirit into other people that they may live. But he's calling you and I today to truly grow in faith, to put our trust in God. And he says, I have promised it, and I will do it, says the Lord. And the Lord is a promise keeper. He is a finisher. He doesn't work on broken promises, like many people today will actually break their promises to other people. The Lord calls us to be a promise keeper, to live up to the word, that our word and actions are one and the same, and it's powerful. But again, the faith of the people is weak, as it is today in our world, as it is in our families. There are many, there are many who truly are not going to church today, who are not believers in Christ, who are not living out the word of God. And it's a struggle for all of us, no doubt, but we strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And he wants us to really raise the standard and to get closer to him. And he calls us, my friends, to truly be promise keepers. If we say we're going to do something for God, are we living it out? Are we living up to it? Or are we just saying it and not following up in action? Actions speak louder than words. In the book of James, it says, become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. It requires action. And God calls us to really to a greater faith, a stronger faith, to show our love for him in our time, our talent, our treasure, and most of all, in our true feelings for the Lord God, for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, for the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And the Lord says, once again, I will put my spirit in you that you may live. Do you truly want to live a life that the Lord calls us to? In the eyes of God, are we living out a life that is worthy in the eyes of the Lord? Or are we truly going astray, doing it our own way, our own morals, values, ethics, our own principles, versus the morals, values, and ethics and biblical principles that God puts forth for us in the Word of God? God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to know that he is the Lord. He says it twice, once again, you shall know then that I am the Lord. He will do things to increase our faith, to get us to come closer to him. And he has promised it, and he will do it, says the Lord. And the Lord never breaks his promise. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. And here it is, from St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from St. Paul to the Romans, we are told that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Basically, in the flesh, what does that mean to you? Basically, living a life that's immoral. And God calls us to a higher standard. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to acknowledge that we can never please God if we're living in the flesh. We're doing things that are against the will of God. And God calls us to a conservative lifestyle. He calls us, as men and women, to leave our mothers and fathers and to join our husbands and wives, and to become one flesh, and to be fruitful and multiply. But in many cases, people are doing what they want to do, WFG, what feels good, not getting married, living together, having, you know, rampant sexual encounters, hooking up, all kinds of evidence in our lifestyles today to point to the fact that we are not doing exactly what God calls us to do. You know, within us is the Holy Spirit. But we are living in the flesh. God calls us in this way. He says, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So do you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you have the Word of God in your life? Are you living the Word of God out? Are you and I, my friends, hypocrites? Or are we really striving to do it God's way? The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies as well. So do we respect the Spirit who lives within? Or are we coming up short? doing once again what feels good, ignoring God's instructions, and living an immoral life, an immoral lifestyle, rejecting the Word of God, ignoring the instructions from the Word of God. The Lord came, 2,000 years ago to set us straight. And the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was born at that moment. And so I just tell you, because Jesus is the Word of God, so he calls us to listen to him. And in the transfiguration that we identified a few weeks ago in the gospel reading, where Peter, James, and John go up to the mountain with Jesus, and Jesus reveals himself in dazzling white, his glorified body. And at that moment, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Are you and I listening to Jesus? Or are we living in the flesh? Only you know, because you and God are the only two entities who can identify what's really going on in your life and in my life, day in and day out. Are we living up to God's standards, his morals, once again, his family values, his ethics, his biblical principles? Or are we involved in immorality? Are we coming up short, living a life and lifestyle that is not conducive for the Word of God to come to fruition, to live it out? Once again, are we respecting the Holy Spirit? We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and God calls us to that higher standard, to respect our bodies, to respect our loved ones, and to guide our children in the way they should go. God calls us to do it, and it's right here from the words of St. Paul to the Romans. And this week, in the fifth Sunday of Lent, my friends, I want you to take a look and see how you're doing. How are your children doing? Are we moving in the right direction, following in the footsteps of St. Paul, or are we going astray? Be objective. Take a good look, an honest look. Is there work to be done? Are there changes to be made? Because God says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And we want to please God. We want to learn what is pleasing to God and then do it. Be a doer of the word. And that comes from the book of James. So when we are living in the flesh, there's no way that we can please God. So if we're not pleasing him, we may be annoying him, displeasing him, making him angry even. And God says in the word, "It would be better for you never to have known my word than to know my word and to go the opposite way." See, the consequences are very great once you know the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. This, my friends, is important. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. And here it is. "Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, 'Master, the one you love is ill.' When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained there for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Mary and Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she had heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd, here I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, the Word tells us that this illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God. It's a faith increaser, my friends. And similar to last week's gospel, when the apostles asked Jesus about the blind man, he said, "Who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And the Lord said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." Once again, this miracle of curing the blind man is to increase the faith of the people and to truly help the apostles to grow in faith, to get them to rise to the occasion, to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in preparation for what they have to do. And it's powerful. And here we see Lazarus being, risen from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within. And God calls him to come out. And the people see it. It's a faith increaser that the Son of Man might be glorified through it. And so the miracle of the blind man and the being able to see, and Lazarus rising from the dead, the power of God is shown. It's on display to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and our Father in heaven. It's a faith increaser, like the apparition sites around the world. The Lord sends our Blessed Mother Mary to touch the hearts and minds of all who see her, all who have the privilege of seeing Mary appear throughout the world. So the raising of Lazarus in this week's gospel is once again designed to increase our faith, to get us closer to our Lord. And Jesus said to the Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." So Jesus says, "Do you believe this, Martha?" So I ask you the question, my friends, do you believe this? And if not, what is it that you believe? And we're a people, really, who need proof. And it's no different than it was back then. And people saw Lazarus come out. They saw the blind man change, regain vision. The man born blind, and it's powerful. And today we have many who don't believe. We have many children in our own families who walk the other way, who won't listen, who are averse to going to church, averse to hearing the Word of God. But God says, once again, in our first reading, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." And so when you see and hear these beautiful stories of miracles of the Lord, then you shall know that Jesus is the Lord, our Lord and Savior. And it's powerful. He is the resurrection. And he clarifies that for Martha, who says, "I know he will rise. I know Lazarus will rise in the resurrection on the last day. The Lord says, I am the resurrection. And she makes it absolutely clear. And then Lazarus comes out, and it's absolutely, you know, apparent that the Lord indeed is the resurrection, as he said. And in the Word of God, Jesus is referred to as a teacher by Martha. And she says, the teacher is here. But are we listening as the Lord teaches us many things? Are we listening like students in the classroom who are distracted, who are late for class, who cut class? Are we listening to the teacher? And Jesus is the ultimate teacher who gives us the Word of God, the instructions, the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, the books of the Bible, the chapters, the verses. Are we reading them? Are we engaged in them? Are we living them out? And in many apparition sites, our Blessed Mother Mary's message is to read a few scriptures every day and then live them out. Ultimately, that is what we have to do. It's not enough to know what the Lord says. Are we actually living it out? Or are we coming up short? His teachings are through and through. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, he calls us to live out the golden rule. He calls us to treat others as you would like to be treated, to forgive others, and all kinds of instructions. But are we listening once again? Do we look at Jesus as a teacher and listen to what he has said in the Word of God? Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Question is, my friends, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So do you and I believe, or do we lack faith in God? Is this important, or is he the last on the list each and every week, giving him less and less time? Only 1 hour a week, maybe, if we're going to church. And if we don't go, are our children going? But do you and I believe to the highest levels? And if not, what changes do you need to make today to get your faith to where it needs to be? My friends, God is calling you and I. And after the miracle, many of the Jews had begun to believe. We have read the story again and again and again. I challenge you this week, my friends, to engage in the Word of God and to believe with your heart and to confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.